Well, we are in the middle of the Christmas season, and we've already heard about the idea that we're learning to spend less on ourselves and to give more to people who really have needs. And after all, Christmas is the season of giving. Christmas is about the lights and the decorations. And who's already put up some lights? I know some of you have already put up some lights. We put up some lights at our house. Decorated a Christmas tree already? Yep, some of us have already done that. How about two or three Christmas trees in your house? All right, come on, that's out of control. All right. So some of us get into the mood by decorating, going to parties. It's kind of about Santa Claus and cards and getting presents and standing in line for hours and fretting what we're going to get for the perfect person who has all of they need. What do you get for the person who has everything they need? And all of this anticipation that we get about what's going to be under the tree. And I remember as a kid, you know, growing up with my brother and my sister and my family, my mom and my dad, and it was just such great anticipation. One of the things I liked about the Advent season and the actual Advent wreath is that every time we showed up on a Sunday, one more candle was lit, and that was one week closer to opening gifts. Now, come on, admit it. You know, you've thought about that from time to time. The anticipation sometimes fills us. I remember my brother and me, I would purchase him a gift, and he would purchase a gift for me. We'd kind of do a gift exchange. My mom would give us the money, of course. And so we finally just decided, when he'd say, hey, what do you want for Christmas? I'd say, what do you want for Christmas? And we'd tell each other, and we finally just said, hey, here's mom's money. Go buy what you want. And I'll go buy what I want. I'll hand it to you. You hand it to me. We'll wrap it. We'll put it under the tree. We'll put our names on it. And we'll pretend like we don't know what we're getting. Don't tell mom. Don't tell dad. We have all kinds of experiences around Christmas and traditions and holidays. But it does tend to be all around the presents. All around the packages. And when you're wrapping packages, you wrap them with ribbons or bows or pretty paper. Or now we just cheat. We shove it in a gift bag and put tissue paper on top of it. Isn't that a great experience? Whoever invented the gift bag, God bless them. God bless them. And then some of you use duct tape if that doesn't work. How many of you have ever wrapped a gift with duct tape? This is self-help today. How many of you have ever wrapped a gift with duct tape? Raise your hand. Come on, raise it high, high and proud. Now, I know some of you, your closet duct tape fans out there, you're not admitting to this. I know you've wrapped presents and packages with duct tape. But it does tend to revolve all around the presents, all around the packages. So in the midst of the shopping and the fretting and the paper cuts and the lost scissors and the duct tape, we need to be consciously remembering what Christmas is all about. And in this month of December, this Advent season, we want to be reminded that Christmas, well, it is all about the presents. It's all about the presence of God. Now, not the P-R-E-S, P-R-E-N-S. Spell it out with me. Presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. It's not about that kind of presence. It's about the P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E of God. We want to talk about the Christmas presence of God, the presence of our Creator God coming to earth into flesh, a gift to all humankind, the presence of God in Jesus Christ, God's presence among us. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." How personal is that? He says, unto us a Savior is born, unto us a child is given. It's been given for you, he's been given for you, and he's been given for you, he's been given for me. And he says, he talks about the idea that this son has been given. It's a gift. It's been made available to you. His presence, he leaves the throne room of heaven, and he comes down to earth, taking on the inferior, limited, and vulnerable nature of a human being in order to walk among us. I can't think of a more incredible gift and present than the presence of God in our lives. As a matter of fact, in chapter 1 of John, in verse 14, it talks about this, and it talks about Jesus, the Savior. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Who is that? That's Christ. Christ is the Word of God. He came and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And so there is no gift that we can buy. There's no present that we can create or make on our own that is greater than receiving the presence of God in the flesh in Jesus Christ. Jesus was God incarnate, which means, you know, Jesus was God's flesh and blood walking on this earth among us, sharing our life, sharing our pain, sharing our sorrow, you know, sharing in the challenges of life. There's never a moment we can look at God and say, you don't understand what I'm going through or walking through, because God walked through it all in Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today that the presence of God in our life is a bit of good news. It is good news. And that's one of the gifts that God brings us in the presence of his Son, Jesus Christ. That the presence of God is good news in our life. After all, it is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel stands for God with us. God with us. Consider what it says in the book of Luke in chapter 2. The shepherds have approached the angels have been approached by the shepherds. No, the shepherds have been approached by the angels. And in verse 10 it says, but the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I give you great news, good news, that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. He says, I've come to give you good news. In the middle of your fear, your concerns, your worries, your challenges, your life, you know, you're working, you're sleeping, you're going to games, you're raising your kids, figuring out your finances kind of life. In the middle of all those challenges, I've come to give you good news. And this good news is that you're not alone. Your Savior in God and Jesus Christ is here. You have a higher power who wants to have a personal relationship with you. That's good news. And in a world full of bad news, we need to hear some good news every once in a while, don't we? Am I talking to the right people here today? I mean, we live in a world full of bad news. You have your own personal bad news. You have challenges going on right now. Some of you are waiting test results. I know this. I'm praying for you. Some of you are battling cancer. You're dealing with health issues. Some of you are dealing with mental issues, and the hamster just keeps going over and over again in your mind. You're worried about this. You're worried about that. You process this. You don't know how you're going to get through that. You know, the physical challenges, spiritual challenges, and we have this bad news that comes to us every once in a while. As a matter of fact, there's days we don't even want to answer the phone. Because you're worried that on the other line might be some bad news. And so we're consumed with this bad news. I mean, bad news is everywhere. It's always around us. Every time you turn on the internet, you turn on the TV, or you're listening to the radio, or you're at the water cooler at work talking, you always hear about bad news. I mean, think about this bad news. You know, Ebola has taken another 1,000 lives in the last 2 days. How about bad news that just happened this past week in Ferguson, Missouri? I mean, oh my goodness, you want to talk about watching humanity just destroy itself. It's so sad. And then you turn on the news and you hear about the jobs and the economy and our borders and amnesty and executive orders and scandals and crime, and it fills us with fear and anxiety and worry because it's just a bunch of bad news. It kind of feels like we're Charlie Brown with a cloud of blah walking over us everywhere we go. And this happens around Christmas. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the joy of Christmas and the shopping of Christmas just covers over all that. A lot of times during this month, we wind up more depressed and more filled with bad news than any other kind of month or month during the year. The angel said in response to that, though, don't be afraid. Don't get down. Don't be filled with blah, the bad news in your life, because God in Jesus Christ has come. God in Jesus Christ has come. And His presence brings salvation to the world. And because of that, we can have joy. We can have an unspeakable and incredible joy. Well, who is the source of this good news? Well, Jesus is. Jesus is the source of this good news. That's why it's called Christmas. Christ Mass, Christ Mass. Now, some of you, when you're writing the boxes for decorations and storing them away, you put an X there and then you put a Mass, right? But it's Christ Mass. It's Christmas. And when you put Christ in Christmas, when your focus is on Christ this season, it brings joy. It can bring a peace. It can bring blessings into your Christmas experience. But when it's just a happy holiday, we have to learn to manufacture our own bit of good news. And the problem with manufacturing good news is our own good news never really lasts. Only God's good news is lasting. And so when we're manufacturing our own good news, when it becomes anything else other than Christmas, when it becomes just a happy holiday, well, that's when we have to stay busy with the hustle and bustle. We have to make sure we're going shopping, or we're going to the party, or we're doing this or that to make up for it. We have to have the most amazing parties ever known to humankind so that we can impress all of our friends. Or we have to get that best gift for that person who's already gotten everything, and we got to wow them and surprise them. Or we need to write the most powerful Christmas letter. You ever feel like writing Christmas letters is like a family competition? I mean, you got to write about all the places you went, all the things you spent money on, all the stuff you got, and all the achievements that your kid has that nobody else in your family has. And you write off this. You say, well, I'm going to write about this. And, well, you know, oh, that's what they did last year. Well, look what we did this year, honey. Let's let them know. And all of a sudden, we got to write these grandiose Christmas letters that we put out there. There's nothing wrong with a Christmas letter, but what's the reason behind them? What's the motivation behind what we do? Or we have to have that perfect family gathering where everything can just be right so that we can experience good news in our life. But the problem with all of these things is they're temporary. These things bring stress. They bring unmet expectations. I mean, what happens when Uncle Bob steps into your perfect family gathering and opens his mouth and throws up all over the place or on people or with what he has to say or she has to say or whoever in your family brings the challenges? What happens when your kid opens that gift on Christmas morning that you've just spent all this time working with Santa Claus to bring for your kid, and all of a sudden it says battery's not included? Or all of a sudden the next day it's broken Or a half a day later, they're not even interested in it. And when the credit card bill comes in January, they're no longer playing with it. You start to pull your hair out, and all of a sudden, the bad news comes out of things where we thought we were going to get good news from. And so we got to pay attention around Christmas time and during the Advent season is because Christmas in and of itself becomes a lonely and depressing time for a lot of us. That's why there's such a drop off after Christmas. That's why January with the cold weather and the snow is so tough because, well, Christmas is done. Christmas is over. And if we have to manufacture our own joy, manufacture our own good news, if we live it beyond the expectation from God is, and that is to live it in the name of Jesus Christ, well, then we wind up experiencing brokenness and, well, bad news in our life. Bad news in our life because we're looking for the good news. And, well, we're looking for the good news in all of the wrong places. We might be looking for it in presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, under the tree. We might be looking at it at stuff or relationships or making sure this is perfect or this is right, but that's not the presence of Christ. God wants us to focus on the presence of Christ in our life and to make Christmas all about Christ. Make it about celebrating His birthday. And when we celebrate it as Jesus' birthday, we don't spend a bunch of money on ourselves and our friends that we don't need buying them gifts and buying ourselves gifts because, well, it's not our birthday. Now, some of you, I know, some of you might have a birthday on Christmas. I understand that. Okay? But it technically is Jesus' birthday, and so we give to Him and we spend less because of the good news in our life. So what is the good news of Christmas? This is really basic this morning, but I think it's powerful and profound, and I believe that this is going to set you up to have an incredible Christmas season if you get these three things. This is the good news of the presence of God through Jesus Christ at Christmas time. Number one, the first bit of good news, God loves you. Some of you need to hear that today. God loves you. The God of the universe, who's a rather busy guy, He's king. He's got a lot of responsibilities. He's got a lot to do. He's got a lot of stuff that takes His focus. He's got a lot of people to care for. He loves you. I want you to hear this personal word again. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. God made it personal. God did this for you. If there were just one of us on this earth, He would have done it for us alone, and He would have done it the same. He loved you enough to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to you. In Ephesians, in chapter 2, I love what it says. But because of His great love for us, what did He do because of His great love for us, who is rich in mercy? He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, our sins. It is by His grace that you have been saved. And God, what did He do for us because of His love? God raised us up. I want us to read those three words together, raised us up. Ready? One, two, three. Raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So because of His love, what does it mean that God loves you? Well, because of His love, He has compassion for you. He hated to see you in this painful, sinful, hurtful state that we've been living in. And so because of His love, He was moved to send His Son on a rescue mission to earth to save you from the bad news of sin and death and destruction in your life and all of the pain that comes with it. And bad news in our life, let's face it, whether it's bad news or report from the doctor or bad news from the finance person or whatever it might be, bad news in a relationship, it puts us on the ground. I mean, it lays us out. It puts us on our knees. Sometimes it just lays us flat on the ground. We feel like we've been bowled over. And His love came to lift you up and to pick you up. And not only that, not only lift you up and pick you up, it says raised you up to be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. How cool is that? That's incredible news. He picks you up and seats you in the most amazing place you could ever possibly fathom with Him in His presence for all of eternity. And that is a bit of good news. That's great news. And I remember when Tawna and Austin came to live with us. Tawna came at 7 and Austin came at 5 years old. And they came from a bad news background. Bad news was regularly a part of their life when they were first born up until the time that we had a chance to adopt them into our lives. And I remember the look on their face when they walked into the house for the very first time. And I sat down with Tawna and I talked to Austin a couple times. But this conversation I remember, I sat down with Tawna and we talked about life and we talked about kind of where she had come from and what the expectations of what she was doing were then and now what we expect from her. And I looked at her and I said, this is an opportunity for you to be a child and to be loved by a mom and a dad. And I want you to know that though we're just getting to know you and you're getting to know us, we love you. We love you unconditionally from the moment we heard of you, met you, and you walked into our house. And it was like I just lifted her up off of the ground. It was like a boost for her. I could see the smile come across her face. She couldn't even hold it back. She was giddy with excitement. This is what love does. This is what happens when you know that somebody loves you unconditionally. Now, if I can do this as her earthly father, what do you think the God of the universe, your Father God, can do for you because of His great love? You know, God's love is an incredible picker-upper in our life. He came to pick you up from the bad news of life. It is the quicker picker-upper. Swiffer holds nothing on God. He is the quicker picker-upper in our life because of his love. Secondly, number one, God loves you. That is good news. That's great news. Number two, God is with you. God is with you. I told you this was going to be simple and basic, but sometimes it's the simple and basic things we forget about that doesn't allow us to live the life that God has called us to live. God came to save you at Christmas time, and this is good news. He did this because he loves you, and he came to be with you. God is with you, and that's what the angels reminded the shepherds of. Hey, listen, have no fear. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about life. Don't worry about your challenges. Don't worry about the bad news, because the good news is you're not alone. And that's the nature of Christmas. That's the great gift we get from God, is his presence in our life, that God is with you, that God is with us. In the Bible, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 28, the Bible says, "Surely I am with you always till the very end of the age." Now, this isn't an airplane moment where you say, "Don't call me Shirley." That's not the kind of Shirley he's talking about here. What he's talking about is assurance. He says, "Surely, surely I am with you till the very end of the age." It is an assurance that I am with you, that you don't eat alone, that you're not in the car alone. Wherever you go, you're not alone. You're not in that meeting alone. You're not at work alone. You're not living in that decision by yourself that you're facing. You're not alone in that. You're not alone in the persecution you're receiving at school or at workplace or wherever it might be. You're not alone. You don't have the weight of leadership. You don't have the weight of the work of your responsibilities on your shoulders alone. You're not raising your kids alone. You see, when you receive the presence of God and Christ Jesus in your life, God is with you for the long haul. He's always with you, and that always stamps out fear. The presence of God quells our fear because we realize that no matter how bad the news gets, no matter what happens to us, we're not alone. That God is there. He says, "Surely." It is a moment of assurance. "I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You will not carry the weight of the world on your shoulders." As a matter of fact, God says, "I'm going to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders because, well, my shoulders as God are big enough and yours aren't." He carries the burdens of life when he walks with you. That is good news. That is good news. Quite often we'll get back from the grocery store or Sam's Club and Erin has gone and done the shopping, and maybe she's gone with one or two of the kids, and she hollers into the house or sends one of the kids into the house invariably to get the rest of the family to come out, because it is a burden to haul in all those bags of groceries. Now, if you go to Sam's Club, you don't even get bags. You've got to handle all these individual boxes of this and that, a gallon of milk, a sack of potatoes, whatever it might be, and you got to haul that stuff in on your own, and that's a challenge. It's a struggle. That's a big burden to take care of. So what does she do? She calls for the army and the troops, that is the Alice family, to come out and help haul these groceries. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You do this in your households. And all of a sudden, the presence of all of our family members, it lightens the burden. It lightens the load. She's not left alone to carry all this stuff. She's not here to deal with all this stuff, to have it all on her shoulders, all the expectations, all the work. And it's not on yours either. All of the work, all of the expectations, all of the challenges of your life, it is not all on your shoulders. God is there to carry the burden with you. And his presence in our life, God is with us. His presence makes a difference. It changes us. This is why it was so important when Isabel found out that I was going to be going with her and with the family to her surgery this week. She's having some minor surgery on Wednesday. She's going under, so I guess that's never minor, but she's going to have some major dental work done, and she's going to have some tubes taken out of her ears. That's going to be on Wednesday. And her just knowing that I'm going to be with her because I can't always go to her doctor's appointments just kind of lightened the moment for her. I know how much it means for Austin when we go to his basketball games and our presence of just being there. This past week on Tuesday, we were decorating that evening in the house some, and Elizabeth was putting up her Christmas tree in her room, and I said, "Hey, Elizabeth, would you like me to help you put your little tree up?" And it's not a very big tree. It's about this big. It has one string of lights and one thing of tinsel and several ornaments. But she says, "Yeah, come on in and help." And I remember when we were done, I said, "I had so much fun decorating that tree with you." And she said, "Daddy, thank you for being with me and decorating that tree." I didn't give her any great gift other than to be with her, other than to spend the time. You see, presence matters. And when my presence in the life of my daughter matters that much, just think of how much it matters when your Father in heaven, your Heavenly Father, is present in your life. And think about the impact. That is incredibly good news. And you know what? Our presence in people's life is a present. Our presence in people's life is a present. As a matter of fact, it's one of the greatest gifts that we can give, and we don't have to spend any money doing it. You don't even have to go through the process of wrapping anything. You can put a bow on your head if you want to. But our presence, Our presence is what makes a difference. And God's presence in our life is a huge gift. It's an amazing, astounding gift. It's a gift that will, because of his presence, turn our fears into joy. It'll lighten our burdens. It'll turn our storms into peaceful times. This is what God's presence does. And this is such incredible and great news in our life. And this is what Christmas brings you and me. Here's the third piece and the final piece of the gift of good news in Jesus Christ. The good news is this, that not only does God love you, not only is God with you, but God is for you. God is for you. God is not against you. God is not out to get you. God is not after revenge or seeking a vendetta on you. He's not out to give you pain and suffering. And this is a huge piece for us to hear. You know, he's not a mean kid on an anthill with a magnifying glass. That's not who God is. And some of us have this image that this is happening in our life, that God is causing this, or this is happening in our life because we're being punished by God, or that God brought this pain in our life. God brought this suffering into our life. And that's not who God is. God is for you. And he has your best plan in mind for your life. In John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You see, God came to rescue you, not kick you while you're down. We don't need any more bad news. We have plenty of that from the world. That's why God came to give us good news. God came to bless you, not to bash you. God came to offer you amazing life and not to offer you death. He came to offer you incredible blessings. He didn't come to lift you, to allow you to stay where you are in your life of misery. He came to lift you out of your misery of sin and not let you walk down a path of destruction. We live in a world where it feels like people are out to get us. People want to take advantage of us or use us in some way, or people have this kind of hidden agenda. I mean, all you have to do is look at Black Thursday. Oh my goodness, did you see some of the videos that were out there, or some of the experiences that happened in stores? It's no longer Black Friday, it's now Black Thursday. Did you hear about this? So everything opens on 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving, and after giving thanks for all that we have and finishing our turkey, we go to the stores and beat people up for a stereo system. I mean, think about that for a second. You know, think about those challenges. We just constantly feel like the world is out to get us. Or if you get that, I don't get that. And so I've got to get it before you get that. And all of a sudden other people become competition. And we have this adversarial relationship. But see, God is not that way in Jesus Christ. He's not against you. God is for you. You know, we have people in our life where we feel like, you know, our boss is after us, or our ex is after us, or we have this enemy that we just can't figure out how to get along with, or you have a rival in your life, but you don't have that in God. You see, in God and Jesus Christ, you have a God who is for you. He wants you to live with hope. He wants to fill you with a future of abundance. He wants to give you joy. He's come to give you peace. He's come to bless your life. You have a God who does not exist to withhold love, to withhold blessings, to withhold peace, to withhold joy. That's not our God. And Christmas is a time where he gave humanity his full presence, made himself fully available in Jesus Christ. Because God came in Jesus Christ to be for you. And in Romans 8:3, here's some good news. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And if you have a God who is for you, then what do you have to worry about? What could possibly bring you down? What could possibly lay you out? What bit of bad news could level you for life? You have no fear because God is near. You have no fear because God loves you. He's with you and he's for you. What issue should worry us? What challenge should break us? What trial should bury us? What bad news should consume us? Nothing. The answer is nada. None of those things. Why? Because God is for you. And Christmas is about God giving his greatest gift of all, the gift of his presence in Jesus Christ, into our lives. And that is good news. And so the good news of Jesus Christ being fully God and fully human coming into our lives is that God loves you, God's with you, and that God is for you. God is for you. Now, it's not just enough to know that there is good news for you and for me at Christmas time. We need to realize that Christmas is a time to share the good news. Christmas is a time to share this good news that God has given to us with the rest of the world. We get to have this good news in our life, but when we get good news, we don't keep it. I mean, when we get good news that, hey, we got this in our life, or this happened, or our daughter is better from being sick, or whatever it might be. When you have a bit of good news in your life, what do? You share it with everybody. You tell the world. You go to work and you tell your coworkers. You tell your friends. You get on the phone. You send a text message. You post it on Facebook. You share it with your neighbors. You share it with the entire world. the entire world when you get a bit of good news. When the Buckeyes win, you just tell everybody about it because that's a good day. Praise God. And you share that good news with everybody. But think about this. This isn't somebody winning a football game. This is the Savior of the world coming to this earth to save you and to save me from the bad news of life. And we're going to withhold that? No. God wants us to share the good news. We all need good news. Everybody in this church, everybody outside of this church, we all need a bit of good news. We all need to see some light in the middle of the darkness of life. We all need His presence. We all need to be saved from our sin because we're all broken. We all need eternal relief from the bad news in our life. Your friends that are battling a broken marriage, they need a bit of good news. That child at school that you know, whether a classmate or a student that you're teaching who's living in poverty, they need a bit of good news. That person at Kroger that just lost their job, they need some good news. That person at the PTA meeting that's battling depression, they need some good news. The person in line that has an addiction that's right next to you, they need a bit of good news. And people are living daily with bad news. You're not the only one that battles bad news. And we need to share the gift of God's presence, not from under the tree, but from the presence of God in Jesus Christ. It is the gift of good news that can bring great joy into people's lives. And Christmas presents from God are always eternal and always everlasting. The Christmas present from God is His presence, and we can't just keep it to ourselves. We've got to share it. Good news is meant to be shared. It's more than just wishing someone a Merry Christmas, but it could start with that. It can start with sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It means that we also spend less on ourselves and we give more to others. Did you know that Advent Conspiracy is a campaign of good news? It's bringing the good news of Christ to people that are truly in need. It means investing in God's presence in people's lives by giving to those who really have a need. I mean, when you look at our needs compared to someone who's about to get bit by a mosquito and die from malaria, when you compare our needs to the children in Kamina in Congo who have just ratty, ripped up, torn up mattresses and beds that they can't sleep in, when it comes to having needs like a house to live in and a roof over our head, most of us don't know what those needs are like. See, we have American needs like, hey, I need another cell phone, or hey, I need a third car. And those kind of become American needs. But we're talking about real needs here that we can meet and share the good news of the love of Jesus Christ with. And I want to share a couple of action steps with you along these lines where we can learn to live into the good news of God. First of all, I want to challenge you to go home and read the Christmas scriptures with your family in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And read the Christmas scriptures with your family. Share the story. Ask questions. Talk about it with one another. Number two, wish people a joy-filled Merry Christmas. Isabel and I were at Walmart yesterday, and we were walking out. And did you know they have greeters back at Walmart again? I'm glad because that's my retirement job. I want to be a greeter at Walmart someday. And we were walking out, and the greeter was standing there and kind of looking a little depressed. And I said, hey, Merry Christmas. I shot her a big smile. Isabel's walking next to me. She lit up, and she says, hey, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to you. And Isabel said, well, you can't wish her Merry Christmas. It's not Christmas yet. And I said, well, sure it is. Thanksgiving is over. It's Christmas season. And you can wish a Merry Christmas to anybody. And it was amazing just how a smile and a shot of Merry Christmas just lifted her up off of the mat of whatever bad news she was dealing with and brought joy into her life. Well, because Christmas is all about joy, it's all about bringing good news into people's lives. So wish people a joy-filled Merry Christmas and step in and help if you can. Share the loving message of Christ. Invite them to church. Number three, serve with your family. Find a soup kitchen to serve. And you can go to Christ's Table. Get involved with the Salvation Army. You can come and help us pack food boxes when Maysville is here, and we're doing our Helping Hands ministry in a couple of weeks. Serve with your family somewhere. Number four, spend less on yourself and invest in saving a life. You want to spread good news? You want to spread good news? Then let's give the gift of life to somebody. You know, it's always funny when our family members or our friends, we've fretted over to get this gift for, to make sure Santa gets the right thing for, they open that gift, and they're not as jazzed as someone who, well, let's say, receives a mosquito net. Because their life is about to be saved. Think about the responses and the reactions that we're going after when we purchase gifts. And when we can give the gift of life, imagine the celebration that takes place. This is what it's all about. Christmas. It's that season. It's Advent, the four Sundays and Christmas Eve that lead up to Christmas Day, the birth of a Savior. It's His birthday. Let's celebrate it. And let's realize that the presence comes, the greatest present of all comes in the presence of God. And because we have the presence of God, we have the gift of good news. I pray that you came today and you were needing a message on good news. Some of you are on your last rope. You're at your wit's end. Some of you are desperate. You don't know Christ. And today is the day to say yes to Jesus Christ. Invite Him into your life. Today is the day to realize that God has good news, and it's found in a relationship with God through His Son, who, by the way, came to this earth and was born for you and born for me. Praise be to God. Amen.